Welcome to Big Broadway Energy, the podcast, with your host, Stephen Reardon. That's me. Thanks for being here, podcast listener. That is you. Well, if you are a regular listener to BBE, you know that there's a very revered and beloved professional theater company that is right across the park that has been our theatrical identity here at St. Pete for over 40 years. It's called American Stage, and every time there is a new main stage, I love to talk about it. I love to bring on some of the artists who are making it happen, and I love to do everything I can to get butts in the seats. The newest main stage at American Stage is called 100 Days, and I'm beyond thrilled to welcome from the show Mikhail Roberts and Kay Chintana Sotokun. Welcome, friends, to Big Broadway Energy.
Hi, thanks Hello. For having us.
Thank
it's
you.
It's really, really nice to see you guys. I actually snuck in and saw the show last night. I didn't think I was going to be able to see it until I talked to you, and then I got in last night, and I'm so, so glad I did. I have to say, it was one of those shows that you sort of think you know what's going to happen or what you're going into, which is a very fun and sort of quirky folk rock concert experience. Then it completely changes into something so intimate and special. And I believe this is the first time we are seeing this show in the Tampa Bay area. So I'm just so glad the entire thing is here. And I want to just talk a little bit about just the premise first. So Chintana, why don't you share a bit about the premise of the show?
Yeah, it is a tight 80 minutes about, basically, it's a true story too. It's about a husband and a wife who got married 3 weeks after meeting each other. The wife, Abigail Bankson, is a deeply traumatized and deeply feeling person, easily triggered person. And she has so much worry. She's so fraught with anxiety about how her existence in the world affects those that she loves. And then she meets this person who is along for the ride with her and her neuroses in a way I don't think she's ever known anyone else to be. And they bond through music, and they bond through navigating those anxieties together. And, like you said, it is deeply intimate. And it is truly a roller coaster ride of emotions for me. Can't speak for Mikhail, but I'm sure he also feels similarly. And I watched you specifically last night go on a journey. And
I really did.
Yeah. I mean, you were beaming. You were sad. You were in it. And I see that with people pretty much every night, not knowing what to expect. And sometimes I don't even know what to expect.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a lot. The music is really, I think, the anchor of everything. Like you said, it's indie folk rock. It's upbeat. It's ballady. It's really, we have a fabulous band. And so we are just really two pieces of that. But it is such a enlightening experience that reminds me to love really hard. And I hope that's what other people see in it, because I think that's what the creators think about it too.
It might be a message we need to hear right now too, right?
I think it's always a message we need, but I think, yeah, especially given how fraught with anxiety we also are.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree.
It's such a personal piece as well. And you both play, like you said, a real life couple and band, which is, they still exist, and you can follow them and you can, go to their concerts, and they are the Bengtsons. Mikhail, talk to us a little bit about the Bengtsons and their musical style.
Absolutely. The Bengtsons have this really unique, there's actually kind of a joke within the show. He kind of jokes about going to the first rehearsal of this anti-folk, folk punk, old-timey neo-soul band. And the really funny thing about that is that's kind of what they are. He talks about this massive band that he came to, and that's where he met Abigail. And their relationship sort of jumped off from there. But the irony is he makes fun of that in the show, but that's kind of what they do. so it's a little anti-folk, but it is also very folk roots. There's even some kind of like bluesy, funky stuff going on. Definitely a lot of soul. And then, you hear some like Glenn Hansard in influences as well, especially in sort of the Sean numbers. And I think the Abigail numbers, they lean more soul blues. But together they make this really unique and inspiring and unapologetically deeply emotional soundscape over which to have a dramatic action.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned the band too. There have been, here's what I love about 100 Days. When I first left, I was like, okay, I got to decide what I love most and then like go down from there. One of the things I love most about it is I think music does connect us in a way that oftentimes we forget sometimes, even if it's like a genre we don't normally listen to, but we get into a room and we start to hear like the heart of the music and it's like, oh, that's I'm feeling something different here. This is interesting. And I love shows on stage that are bringing the band into the story and it feels very organic. And I think, let's talk a little bit about this amazing band, because I, again, was I kind of knew, I've seen both of you work, so I kind of knew you guys were going to be amazing, and I love Morgan too. But as a whole, you are really bringing something that feels so lived in and it feels so connected. Let's talk about the band.
Well, we were lucky to have our band early on in the process. Normally in a classic musical theater setting, you get the band like a week before
if you're lucky.
Right, and they've rehearsed a small amount separately, and then they get with you and you do one rehearsal together, and then you're sort of off. Right, we were really lucky. Our director Nick thought it was really important that we were able to come together as a full band who felt like a band. And Maya, our drummer, also was in Hedwig. Rose, our cellist, has worked at American Stage before. So we all know of each other and have somewhat worked together. But to have ourselves in so early, and we were able to sort of explore the music, not as rigidly as you might think of in a traditional classic musical theater setting, right? So we were able to, ooh, what if I did this here? Do you mind if I make this sound more like me? Ooh, what if I tried this instead? Ooh, what if we added this little distortion? Whatever. Like, we were just really able to come together and make something more collaborative than you might normally find with, like, oh, we have a 14-piece orchestra and this is how the clarinet one part is written, right? So that was really exciting. And we all seem to really love each other, and we all really love to uplift each other. We're all big fans of each other, I think is really, really important.
It's true. I felt that way too. And I loved the name of your musical director just escaped me.
Jason Tucker.
Jason Tucker. Amazing, amazing human. He's worked very, you know, pretty extensively in St. Petersburg. But he led the sort of dialogue a lot of the time during the show. He sort of like brought in, he wasn't just playing the piano, I guess is the best way to explain it. Correct. He almost is like, I felt he was very like narrator driven. Like he was almost like the Greek chorus of this show. And I thought, like, what an interesting opportunity for someone to realize that people who play instruments are not just people who play instruments. Like they are as integral to these stories as the star of the show.
It's really funny that you mentioned that, because one of the discussions early on into the run of the show after we had opened, and maybe a little bit during the rehearsal process, is Jason said to me, he said, you know, I haven't been a performer in so long, like a dozen years or more. I'm usually directing people to do this thing, and then, you know, I'm down in the pit, or I put the show up and off I go to the next thing. But to be put in some instances, literally front and center of the entire play, and to, as you said, sort of narrate the action of some of the things that are going on. Or my favorite thing, when he's speaking my internal monologue, is one of my favorite, absolute favorite things. There's like no work for me to do there. As soon as he talks about like, you're angry, like I just get deeply and profound feelings of despair.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're also connected to each other. I guess that's what it feels like. If you go and see, like, you know, something, a band that's been playing for years and years, there's this like shorthand, and it feels like you all have that, which is really nice.
There was an objective there that Jason said that he was striving for from the onset, was even day one, when it was just Jason Tucker, Morgan Tapp, our violinist, harmonica player, guitarist. If you guys don't know who Morgan Tapp is, you will.
Without a doubt.
She's absolutely an amazing musician. So it was just Jason, Morgan, Chintana, and myself, and Nick Sugar, our director, in the first couple of rehearsals. And right from the outset, it was very clear that this was going to be something really, really special.
It works, and it's really translating. And if you're a loyal member to American Stage as an audience member and you've not yet seen 100 Days, you have probably already spent some time rocking out with these two. And, you know, both Mikhail and Chintana have graced American Stage's main stage before. Mikhail, you were last seen last season as the one and only Johnny Cash in Ring of Fire. Talk to us about that experience.
Absolutely. Well, that was my debut performance at American Stage Theater in St. Petersburg. And transformative for me. You know, you think three chords and a truth that you're going to have an easy time of it. Sure. But Johnny Cash was such a prolific writer. And he forces you to be better, because he had a level of accuracy. And like people would say, a razor's edge, you know, when they talked about Johnny Cash, because he was accurate with it. It might seem simple on the surface, but it's actually not. And he would do weird things like have no chorus in a song. He would just be verse after verse after verse after verse, and it would build, and there's no escaping it. And you're just sucked into the story of the thing. And that's I learned so much about music that I was so arrogant and thought I knew better. And then I went back to kind of like the basics.
Right.
And realized I don't know crap. And I kind of got schooled by the man in black. And I'm so grateful for it. And our cast was fantastic. Morgan Tapp was also in that, just absolutely shredding. I also have to shout out Tristan Brayboy, who was, I believe, in Hair
he
at
was.
American Stage
he
as
sure
well.
Was.
And just a phenomenal cast all around. Yeah, Troy as well. He's been ripping it up around St. Pete. Just everybody was just fantastic.
No, it was a really an amazing
I'm
cast.
I'm super grateful for it, and I'll always come back to American Stage solely because of that initial experience that I had. It's a home away from home.
Ugh, we love hearing that. And Chintana, you were in one of my favorite shows of all time, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, playing the very thankless role of Itzhak. Let's talk a little bit about Itzhak and like... If people have never heard of Hedwig, can you do an elevator pitch? Because I have one, but I'd love to hear yours.
Yeah. Hedwig is a brash, powerful, in-your-face story about what it means to be yourself despite who you are not totally being your choice, right? And living your truth through the reality that was thrust upon you. And I think that's maybe the most succinct way that I can say it. Yitzhak, the character that I played, is what I would describe as a drag husband. So yes, thankless, but always there, even
always
when they don't want to be. And it's also another, I kind of describe these shows as plays with music more than they are musicals, right? Because I'm a big fan of those types of settings where the music does tell the story, like it does in Hedwig and in 100 Days, but also the music could stand alone as a concert, which is how Hedwig actually started out, as you probably know, as more like concert, like in basements and dive bars and stuff. So there are actually, even though they're vastly different shows, there's a lot of parallels between how they work and how they integrate the key thing that is the music into them. But Hedwig was an incredible experience. I will never forget it. But my first show at American Stage was actually Romeo and Juliet in Williams Park right across the street. Because I lived here for like 7 years. So for a long time, I was seeing everything that I could at American Stage. I've always been a big fan. And I had done a couple readings too. So to be able to come back now and do some main stage stuff and to be able to sing really hard and feel some stuff is pretty cool. So my journey with American Stage is hopefully just in its infancy still.
I hope so too. Yeah. Because you're both so wonderful in this show. And I love punk rock vibes, you know, the folk punk rock vibe of the show. And if you're listening because you not only love BBE, but you love Radio St. Pete, this is the kind of music we play at Radio St. Pete. So we have a lot of local artists that are here in St. Petersburg. The entire premise of Radio St. Pete is that we are always endorsing and lifting up the local artists that are making this area special. And if you are someone who is someone who loves the folk punk rock vibes, if you are a folk singer, if you are someone who loves that genre, you must go see 100 Days. It really is like something. It reminds me of many of the local concerts we've had for Radio St. Pete, because so much of the sound is similar to what our local artists are doing here in St. Pete. So I really want everyone, if you're listening, to go and experience 100 Days, because I think you'll really, I don't know, understand it. But Chintana, I want to go back to what you said earlier about the kind of play this is, which is basically a play with music as opposed to a musical. I think that's a genre that's really going to continue to grow, and I think for a lot of reasons. And both of you have done these kinds of shows. Do you find them more satisfying? Do you find them more special than maybe a traditional musical? Like, what gravitates you to this kind of work?
I mean, I don't know if they're more special. Okay, no, I do think that they're more fun. For me personally, not everyone has to think that. But what I love about theater is that you can get lost in a story. And I personally find it easier to get lost in a story if the people talking about it are integrating what they're doing. Because sometimes in a musical, it's like, yes, we're singing, but don't acknowledge that what we're doing right now is singing. This is just part of the story. But right. What I love about plays with music is, hi, we're here doing this play. Also, here's some music that we want to sing to you and share with you. So it does feel more collaborative with the audience. It feels more collaborative with the band. And to me, it just feels like a more well-rounded and inviting experience, regardless of the subject matter of the show. So people love to put me in plays with music, too, because they tend to be rocky. And they like to make me belt, which I love to do. But yeah, I think plays with music are special because of the way that they invite you in to sit and be a part of it around the campfire kind of thing, you know?
Without a doubt. Mikhail?
Yeah, there's a really specifically unique gift that these sorts of shows give you. And I always harken back to the old adage that one of my mentors told me, which is that when the feelings become too big, the emotions become too big, that's when you sing, right? Mm. So that the music is not a mask that you hide behind. It's not a shield to prevent you from having the feelings. It is a vehicle through which you express the emotions that are too deep, too great, too profound for you to say with words alone, that they now require to be lengthened out and higher and more intense and louder. Really, truly, you know, we scream in this show, scream, and what a great and cathartic gift to be able to scream. And I think shows where people do that in a safe environment and do it safely and repeatedly and show people, like, you can let these feelings out. You can fall head over heels for a person so much that it nearly breaks you. Right. And it fills you so much with that desire and that love and that intimacy that you have to just sing it to the heavens. And so I hearken back to that over and over again. The feelings are so large that you must sing them. And I always like to add on to that, when when it's too large for singing, then you take a guitar solo.
That is actually the best definition of anyone who's like, I don't like musicals because why do they burst into song? That's why. Like, I have never heard that before. I'm stealing that.
Yeah. And you know what's really interesting about Abigail Bankson is if you go to her Instagram, whenever she's, you know, people will just sit and talk to the camera. She only sings at the camera. She does not ever talk. It's always like, hi, I'm Abigail, and I'm sitting here today. Like, she never just speaks. She's always singing because her feelings are too big. I have several notations in my script where I'm like, okay, no more talking. Time to sing.
Time to sing.
Because it's just so big,
it's too
right?
Much
it's
now.
Just so intense that how else can I express this?
Yeah. It's also when it's too delicate, too.
Too delicate, too scary.
Yeah.
To any number of emotions that you just aren't ready to talk about, you can express through music.
Well, because we're dealing with, ultimately, the central conflict of this has to do with a fear of intimacy. Mm. That's the central conflict of the actual play. And it's not really about a person dying or what if they're going to die. The actual conflict is, what if I fall in love with this person and then they die? Which is fundamentally a fear of connection. Mm. And I think we all need to hear that message right now, to go ahead and connect, you know? Don't be sad that it ends. Be grateful that it happened.
That it happened at all. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, so true. And it's so important to continue to develop non-traditional musicals so that we can continue to keep passion and interest in the modern day musical. I had a friend last week who was all bummed out because he's in a tour and nobody's coming to see the show. And he's like, I just don't know how we're gonna bring it back. And I just, not that I wanted to argue with him, but I'm like, it's not gone. Mm. We don't have to bring it back. It's here, but we have to remind people how important it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most important thing. And I think if we can approach these conversations with maybe new information or giving someone who doesn't think it's for them, like what you just said, Mikhail, about, like, this is why they sing, because their emotions are so that they can't not sing. It's like, oh, well, maybe I'll go see a show and I'll look at it in a different way. Like, I just think we have to remind people how important art is. Like, it's not going anywhere, but it can't be dormant either.
Totally. Well, it you hit on such a good point, because I think with the proliferation of quote AI art, I don't even really call it art, but AI overproduction of things, we're losing touch with humanity. Mm. And recently I said something on my social media. I said to people, and I say this ironically on a podcast, but the revolution will not be televised. It won't be. It's going to happen live in a coffee bar or at a theater somewhere or in a park. That's where it's going to happen. You want to have a human connection, you got to go out and see actual people making art right there in the space between you. And so, come see theater, because that's where the revolution is, man. It's live. And you can't fake it. You can't.
No, you can't. Especially with a show like this, because Chintana, from the very first second, you include everyone in this show. Like, you walk up and you're like, no, you can say hi, I'm a person.
And I say, hey, let's do this.
I'm a real human.
It really does put people's like, whoa, how do I react?
People always very nervously laugh at that.
I was like, oh, this is going to be so much fun. Like, I knew as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, I know what I'm in for now. This is going to be great. It was really, really good.
I think that's what I love about plays with music, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hello, we are people. We are making music together. We're probably going to make mistakes.
Uh-huh.
You're probably going to miss some of what we say, but that's okay, because we're all here together doing this together, right?
Without a doubt.
It doesn't have to be perfect and polished and anything like that. It just is. And I think existing together is something that we miss so much in a world where, I hate to sound like this, but we're so attached to our phones all the time. But like, it's just true, right? Like, we're just not as connected as we could be, for better or worse. We're not fighting as much. We're not loving as much. And I think that this show and theater in general of this kind is a really good reminder that we should just feel things, and it's okay if they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's okay that they're uncomfortable. You don't have to see them on social media. You don't have to be a troll about something. Like, you can be a human being with someone and feel things.
And you can be earnest.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You can be cringe. It's okay to feel stuff.
Thank goodness.
And be
honest. I'm cringe
about it.
All the time. I, this show is called Big Broadway Energy because my whole life people were like, wow, you bring the Big Broadway energy, don't you? I'm like, I guess I do. Like, it's so silly. All right, so we're all very, very well aware that whether we like it or not, there's a threat to the arts right now, and it's always happening, but especially now. So I like to ask my guests, even though it may be cheesy or cliche, as sort of like a final question, what art means to them, because I think it helps people remember why it's important. So, Mikhail, why don't we start with you? What does art mean to you?
Oh, man. I mean, immediately getting emotional talking about it, because we have our lives, and we have our existence, and we go through it, and we have our experience, right? But then something's going to happen to you. I say this all the time. One day you are going to be the star of your own personal tragedy, truly. And when that happens, you might wonder whether or not anybody else has ever felt this way before. You might not read Robert Frost your entire life, but then you might lose a child. And you might wonder, has anybody felt this level of loss before? You might think, has anyone loved this deeply in their lives? And you might pick up Shakespeare for the first time and realize, man, I'm not alone. This person existed 300, 400 years before I did, and they're having the same stupid feelings. That's what it's about. It's about understanding that we're all human beings having a human experience. And this is the way that we make it reverberate throughout the cosmos for all time.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And I couldn't agree more. Chintana?
I don't remember the question.
What does art mean to you? It's a big one.
Oh, yes. You know, I was sitting around a table with a few friends last night, and one person went around and asked us all, what is your deepest joy? Mm. And when it got to me, I thought, I've been thinking a lot about community lately. As a traveling regional actor who is often in, gets to know a place really well for a couple months and then leaves, community and the idea of being there for other people, even when it's inconvenient for you and you don't want to do it and maybe even don't have the resources to do it, but figuring it out anyway, is one of my deepest joys, watching that happen and being part of it. And I think what art means to me is a sense of community. I mean, it's the same reason that I love plays with music versus musicals, is because you're just bringing other people into intimate moments. And art, for me, is just a way of connecting with other people that you might not like them, or you might really like them, or any number of feelings in between or outside of that. And it's like, as someone who writes music, when people hear my songs and they'll say, oh, this is how this made me feel, sometimes I'm so shocked because I'm like, well, that's not what I meant at all. That's great for you. But so I guess art to me really is just a sense of not just expressing yourself, but expressing community. Art and community really go hand in hand for me. I don't know how you can have one without the other, right? So yeah, art to me is just a way to connect with other people, because I've always struggled to do that just with words. I've struggled to be honest and upfront and vulnerable, but through art I have always been able to successfully express myself. So art and community are really
it's so true. And I came back. I lived in New York for a lot of years and kept coming back and forth. I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida, and I would go back and forth for work, and I'd get jobs and come back home. And finally I said, I have a great community here, and I'm in my 40s and I'm tired of feeling lonely, and I'm coming home. And that means I lose some jobs, that means you lose some jobs, but I'm going to do something that makes me feel like my community supports me, because New York is a great place, but it's a hard place to find that community. And when you have one, like, you miss it when you're not there. So I couldn't agree more. And I'm just so thankful to both of you for what you're bringing to St. Pete and to American Stage with 100 Days. It's playing through November 16th at American Stage. It's a great date show. It's like 80 minutes long, no intermission. So you go and you're at dinner by 8:30. Like, yeah. It's so perfect for a date night.
You can have dinner after. What's that about?
That's, I know, great. It doesn't exist. It's not usually. It's great. Mikhail Roberts and Kei Chintana, Sota-kun, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for bringing such powerful performances to American stage.
Thanks for having us.
It's really, really great. Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on Big Broadway Energy. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, email me, will you? BigBroadwayEnergy, all one word, at gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be kind, be curious, keep creating. Bye, everybody.